T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
KCBS, in partnership with UCSF Health, presents As Prescribed, a weekly conversation with leading medical experts from UCSF Medical Center and UCSF Benioff Children's Hospitals.
Hello and welcome to As Prescribed. I'm Kathy Novak. Depression is one of the most common causes of disability, but it goes unrecognized in many people who go to the doctor for care. Well, new research out of UCSF has found one way to help stop people from falling through the cracks. And joining us today to talk more about this is Dr. Maria Garcia. She's the first author of the study and professor in the UCSF Division of General Internal Medicine and the Department of Epidemiology and Biostatistics. Dr. Garcia, welcome to As Prescribed.
Hi, Kathy. Thank you so much for having me today.
So, Dr. Garcia, what did you find about why depression might be going unrecognized?
I think there's a number of different reasons why depression may go unrecognized in primary care settings. I think one of the reasons may be that there's just so many things to take care of in primary care settings that depression may fall to the back burner, especially among patients who have a lot of complex medical conditions, who are older, or those that have language barriers that make it a little bit more difficult to recognize the symptoms. So those are just some of the reasons why it may go unrecognized.
And you took a kind of close look at screening in those primary care settings that you referred to there. Can you talk a little bit more about the screening and what you found?
Yes. So in about 2017, UCSF implemented depression screening for all adult patients. And it may have been occurring before that, but this was the first time that they systematically implemented in their practices. And we found that initially the rates were pretty low. It was about 40% when we first started to screen for depression. But over time, it did increase. And initial disparities, especially among older patients, those with language barriers, and men, narrowed over time, and screening improved so that by the end of the screening period in 2019, it had increased to almost 90% of patients, which was a really, truly remarkable increase in screening.
What kind of screening are we talking about?
So mainly we use what's called the Patient Health Questionnaire, or the PHQ-2, which is a widely recognized tool that's used throughout the United States and in many different languages and validated in many different cultures. And it's a screening tool that has a good sensitivity and specificity for depression. So it really does a good job of picking up on depressive symptoms among patients.
So someone goes to their primary health provider for any health issue, gets this questionnaire, and is screened for depression. If it turns out that they may be at some kind of risk or show symptoms of depression, what happens next?
Yeah, so it's really important to recognize that this is just a screening tool. It's just the precursor to a deeper conversation with their primary care provider. So after the PHQ-2, oftentimes we get the PHQ-9, which is a slightly longer screening form that asks a little bit more in depth about symptoms. And then they provide that information to the primary care provider to discuss in a visit. Then that may lead to a conversation about how long the symptoms have been going on, what the symptoms have been attributed to, and what kind of they're associated with. And then the doctor may decide that it is truly a case of depression that warrants some treatment, either with medication or with a referral to therapy.
Do you know if any of the conversations that patients were having with doctors were something like patients saying, oh, I didn't even realize that I might be depressed until you actually asked me these questions and had me go through this questionnaire?
Yes, I think many patients don't recognize even when they're having symptoms of low mood. And sometimes there are other symptoms that are associated, like fatigue, poor appetite, that patients may not recognize among themselves or among family members and loved ones. I think we often think about suicidality and suicide as being one of the main markers of depressions, but depression really has a whole range of symptoms associated with it. And so it is important to recognize that there is this variety of symptoms to discuss with your provider. So if they're asking about all these things, it doesn't mean that they've steered away from a discussion about mood.
And you talked about some of the disparities. Are certain groups of people more likely to have depression that's going untreated?
Definitely. We found that racial and ethnic minorities, and especially patients with language barriers, are less likely to receive treatment for depressive symptoms. In part, some of it is related to stigma about treatment, but often we've also found that there is low recognition among these groups when they are having depressive symptoms. So it's important to be extra vigilant about these populations.
And why is it so important to make sure that doctors are catching these early signs of depression?
It's super important, not just for quality of life for patients in terms of how debilitating depression itself can be, but it just has such a domino effect on so many other conditions. So it affects their chronic conditions. It affects all these complex self-management behaviors that we want patients to engage in. So it's really important to be able to recognize those symptoms. And not least, and then efforts to prevent suicide and suicidality, I think it's just really important to be able to have these frank discussions with your primary care providers about these symptoms.
So when you look at this data that you have and the improvement that you saw with something that is seemingly, you know, relatively low barrier, simple of a questionnaire and screening early for depression at that primary care level, what do you hope comes next? Do you think this is something that could be widely implemented, like getting your blood pressure taken when you have a checkup?
Definitely. I think many practices are already trying to implement routine depression screening. I think we've highlighted that it is important that we make sure that it happens equitably, that all groups have the benefit of depression screening. But depression screening is just the first step. Really, we hope that these will lead to more discussions with primary care providers about treatment and more patient engagement in both therapy and antidepressant medications to treat these symptoms and to manage them over time to make sure that we achieve depression remission.
We're talking about people who would go to the doctor because they have other health issues and then be screened for depression. What would your advice be to people who might already feel that they have symptoms of depression and want to reach out to a healthcare provider?
I would definitely say that starting in primary care is always a good first step. Primary care is the gateway for much of depression treatment. And so if you're not already established with a primary care provider, it is very beneficial to do so and to prevent these symptoms from happening. If you're already having symptoms, there are also other resources. If you are waiting to establish with a primary care provider, there is the 988 hotline that's for individuals who are having depressive symptoms or suicidality, that to be able to be directed towards services. So those are just some of the available resources.
Great advice there. Dr. Garcia, thanks so much for talking to us today.
Thank you.
Dr. Maria Garcia is professor in the UCSF Division of General Internal Medicine and the Department of Epidemiology and Biostatistics. And I'm Kathy Novak. Thanks so much for tuning in to As Prescribed.
As Prescribed, every Thursday at 1:30, right here on the Bay Area's news station, All News 106.9 at AM 740 KCBS, and streaming on the Odyssey app. The proceeding was sponsored by UCSF.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.